Hello, and welcome to Weavecast, where warp meets weft. This is a podcast devoted to hand weaving. I'm your host, Sign Mitchell. Join me each month as I and my guests discuss hand looms and the people who use them. This is episode zero, the very first episode of Weavecast, in which I'll introduce myself, explain why I think the world needs a weaving podcast, outline future episodes and how they're going to be formatted, and finally, talk about that scourge of weavers everywhere.
Fear of warping.
Our lovely opening theme is Limerick Rake by Celtic Reboot, a band out of Germany. Their music is just beautiful. It's an eclectic blend of Celtic and funk that tickles me pink. Their songs and all the other music you'll hear on this show are provided by the Podsafe Music Network. Let's just hear the end of this and then move on. It's early February. I just blew my entire weaving budget for the month on a really good microphone. How the heck did this happen to me? Well, I like to think of it as Brenda Dane's fault. I started listening to podcasts a few months ago, right after I bought my husband an iPod for his birthday. Now, let me be clear, you don't need an iPod in order to listen to a podcast, but sure does make it a lot more fun. Anyway, I bought him an iPod Nano, and it was so cute and so cool that I bought myself one and soon stumbled onto Marie Ershad's wonderful podcast, Knitcast. And I listened to Knitcast and devoured every episode. I got very excited about this new medium, the idea that we could create internet radio shows for any interest, even one as eclectic perhaps as hand weaving. In the back of my mind was rattling around the idea that I too needed to create a podcast. Then, I stumbled across Cast On by Brenda Danes because I had listened to everything Marie Ershad had done and I went out looking for more fiber podcasts. There must be more fiber podcasts out there. So I found Brenda Danes' Cast On, and if you are of the liberal persuasion, you have to listen to her Halloween initial episode. It made me laugh out loud hysterically in my car. I'm sure people driving by wondered what I was listening to. But after I listened to Brenda Danes, I felt both a stronger desire to do podcasting and also complete and total despair, because she does such a wonderful job of blending music and commentary and warm, engaging stories that I despaired of doing anything even half as good. But she was also very encouraging of new fiber podcasts in among her commentary. So, like I said, this is all Brenda Danes' fault. Now, you're probably wondering who I am, and I sometimes wonder that myself. I like to describe myself as a recovering physicist. I'm an ex-web developer from a major multinational software company. I quit my job there to focus on my science fiction writing. I've published 4 science fiction novels, and I have a 5th on the way. It'll be due out in June 2006. If you're curious about the writing part of my life, you can go check out my publicity website at www.signmitchell.com. And before you go running for pen and paper, no worries. I'm going to have every link I mentioned during the show as an HTML link in the show notes on the blog supporting Weavecast. So don't worry about having to write anything down. I wouldn't do that to you. I am also a wife of a wonderful man who is a bit bemused by the number of looms that his wife seems to require, and the fact that she will go out and buy more yarn even though there are 15 boxes of yarn already in the garage. And I guess you have to be a fiber person to really understand that one. I am also the mother of an adorable and a precocious 2.5-year-old named Kai, who, bless his heart, is so determined to be a fiber boy. Whenever I sit down to weave, he says, "Mama, I weave too." And whenever I knit or spin. So at 2.5, he's already knit a little bit and spun a little bit and woven a little bit. He's actually been weaving since before he was born, which I will explain in a story at some point on this podcast. But none of that has anything to do with weaving. So why a weaving podcast? Well, after I had enjoyed all of the wonderful knitting podcasts in the world, I went looking for a weaving podcast. And I didn't find one. And I was very disappointed because I love knitting and I love spinning. But in my heart, I am a weaver. For me, it is the blend of art and technology in hand weaving. And it's just the perfect level of high touch, high concept, high technology. Because even the most basic floor loom has a lot of math and science going on underneath. In addition to Brenda Danes, I'd also like to blame my mother for this podcast because she is the one who put me on my fiber path. I had been wanting to learn how to spin since I was about 16, and I'd gotten through another 15 years of life before my mother called me up one day. And my mother is a garage sale Olympic athlete. And she called me up and she said, "I just found something really wonderful at a garage sale and I bought it for you and I paid $75 and I hope you like it." And you have to understand that for my mother, $2 is a large yard sale purchase. She can talk you down from $20 to 50 cents. So she is an expert bargainer. And if she had bought something for $75, I was expecting a car. Seriously, my mother is that good when it comes to garage sale bargaining. People of Madison, Wisconsin, be afraid. Anyway, she called me up. She said, "I've just bought you a spinning wheel." And I was astounded and delighted and immediately researched prices on the web and realized that she'd gotten an amazingly good deal because what she'd brought home was an Ashford Traditional in a beautiful antique stain. It was just gorgeous. She bought it because it was beautiful and made a lovely sh 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 sound when she turned it. And because she thought I ought to spin. And I don't know if she knew that I had always wanted to spin or not, but it was a happy synchronicity. So I got the wheel and I took a spinning class and learned how to spin and became completely obsessed. I spun 1 to 8 hours a day every day. If you spin that much, eventually you accumulate large piles of yarn. I went back to my spinning instructor and said, "Okay, I'm having a lot of fun spinning, but now these piles of yarn, which were originally quite decorative in little baskets, you know, on my coffee table, are now threatening to bury the couch. What do I do with all the yarn?" My spinning instructor, who also worked at a knitting store, watched me try to knit, watched the painful motion of my needles, slow and deliberate and inaccurate. And she said, "Honey, you need to learn to weave." So I went online and checked out the Spinners and Weavers house cleaning pages, which if you are a beginning weaver looking for equipment or a longtime weaver looking to upgrade or to trade in equipment, please check it out. I will have a link on the show notes. There I found a loom for sale in my area called a Baby Wolf from Schott. I have been amazingly lucky in my initial equipment purchases. I got the perfect beginner wheel, and I believe that the Baby Wolf from Schott is the perfect beginning loom because it's a floor loom, it's got treadles, and it's complicated enough to keep you intrigued for a long, long time. The person who sold it to me was a wonderfully generous weaver, but she saw my complete ineptitude with weaving and immediately gave me a demo on how to use her loom. She spent a whole hour with me just sort of extemporaneously showing me how to use her loom. And then she cut her warp off and sent me home with a naked loom. And it was wonderful. Why a weaving podcast? You heard all about me and who I am. Why, of all the podcasts in the world, did I decide to do a weaving podcast? Well, first of all, I had listened to every fiber and knitting and crafting podcast I could find in iTunes and elsewhere. and I'd run out of content. And so I went looking for a weaving podcast, and there weren't any. Not even one. If there are weaving podcasts out there that I could not find in all my various searching with all my various keywords, please do send me a note and let me know. I would like to promote them on the show so we can find each other. But after listening to all these wonderful knitting podcasts, which I've already gone on and on about, I had to ask myself, why let knitters have all the fun? We need a weaving podcast. I'm also really blessed that I live in the Seattle area, and the Seattle Weavers Guild is very active, and we have a lot of great weavers who live in the Pacific Northwest, and a lot of great weavers who come through the Pacific Northwest to see the Seattle Weavers Guild and some of the other wonderful active guilds we have in the area. We have the Olympic Weavers Guild and the Whidbey Guild, and I'm sure others who I just haven't learned about yet. So with all these wonderful weavers in the area and swirling around me, it would be foolish of me not to capture some of that knowledge and bring these weavers to my podcast and thus to your home so you can hear about them. So it'll be a way to get their information out to people and, you know, give us weavers something fun to listen to while we're warping up our looms. What's next for Weavecast? Well, I've come up with a format that I'm going to use for the next couple of episodes and see how I like it. First of all, I'll start each episode with an intro and description of what's to follow, what the content is. I plan each episode to have a theme of sorts. Next, I'll have Swatch of the Day. And this is a tip of the nib to Brenda Danes. She has a Sweater of the Day where she describes a sweater that she's knit up and paints a verbal picture of it. Well, I'm going to describe a sample swatch because I have woven many and collected many from other weavers, and the Seattle Weavers Guild has a whole back history of swatches. So I will pick a swatch from a collection and attribute it properly and describe the swatch in great detail, any notes about weaving it, any uses for the fabric. I'll describe the handle, the color, what it feels like, and I will post a WIF file up among the show notes so that those of you who use computers with your looms can automatically just plug the threading and treadling into your CompuDobbies. And anyone who's interested in looking at the threading and drawdown can use a free WIF file reader that's available on the internet, and I'll have a link to that as well. So you'll be able to use the WIF file as a format to download the threading and treadling, and you'll be able to weave your own version of the swatch or a variant. After Swatch of the Day, I'll have a segment called News and Reviews, where I talk about the latest weaving books and equipment, and if there are any big topics of interest to weavers, that's where that'll go. Then I hope to interview a prominent weaver with every episode. This episode, you just have me, because this is a shorter intro, Welcome to Weavecast episode. But next month, in March, we're going to have an interview with Judith McKenzie, who is mostly known for her spinning, but is also a fabulous weaver, a wonderful weaving instructor, and the woman who taught me how to weave. So, very, very amazing lady. She's led a life that has taken her all over the globe, and is just the sweetest, most generous person you'd ever care to know. So, we're very lucky to have her. And in a future show, we're going to have Jennifer Moore of Double Weave fame going to come talk to us, and there are others I have my eye on, but they haven't agreed yet, so I'm not going to mention their names. After the interview, I'd like to read a little essay about the weaving life. This week's essay is Fear of Warping, which is an appropriate topic for the very first Weavecast, since that's something that every weaving book has to deal with and every weaver has to get over in order to weave. And then finally, if we have listener feedback, I will respond to it, and I would love to have your feedback, so please don't hesitate to go up to the blog and post comments or send me email. Hopefully, this will become a two-way conversation as we go along. And finally, throughout the show, I'll try to have bits of music for you to weave by. And I must say, I've been up on the PodSafe Music Network looking for music I could play on the podcast that had a weaving theme, and there ain't any. If you know of a song that mentions weaving, or if you are a musician who would like to get your music played on my podcast, please write me something that has something to do with hand weaving or fabric or looms or weavers. I would really appreciate it. Now, I have to say, for all the lovers out there, and even if it's just love of self and love of fabric and love of weaving, happy Valentine's Day. I promised myself I'd get this podcast up by Valentine's Day because it would be way too easy to just procrastinate and never get it up there. Please consider this podcast as my little present to me and you and the weaving world. And as an additional present, I'm going to play a little song. And then after that, we'll get into today's audio essay,
Fear of Warping.
So there you go, a little music to weave by. Happy Valentine's Day. That was Jenny Beck, a Swedish songwriter currently living in the UK. I like that song, and I hope you did as well. Today's audio essay,
Fear of Warping.
I have a confession to make. I owned my baby wolf loom for 2 years before I learned to warp it. Yep. Isn't that sad? I went out and I bought this loom to weave up all my wonderful hand-spun yarn, and I was so excited, and I was so happy, and the woman who sold me the loom had even given me a weaving lesson. But still, 2 years. So, if you're a beginning weaver in that stage, I'm going to explain how I got past my own fear of warping. Warping is actually one of my favorite parts of weaving now. And you can get there too. Don't worry. You'll get past there. You'll be a confident, happy warper, I assure you. You just need to get past that first initial fear. You just need to get comfortable with it. And my first weaving instructor, Judith McKenzie, her advice was, when you're first starting out, no warps over 2 yards long. You need short little stubby warps, so you have to put a lot on and you get very confident with it. But anyway, let me tell you my sad tale of coming to grips with the warping life. And if you're past fear of warping already, you can listen in and maybe be a bit amused. Anyway, I came home with my brand new baby wolf. It was beautiful. Maple wood, shiny heddles. I was in love. I bought a book on how to weave and I read it. And there were a lot of steps. I was kind of surprised by that. You had to measure across and tie a bunch of little thingies on it. And I didn't understand why you had to tie so many ties on the measured warp before you took it to the loom, because the loom was 5 feet away. I mean, how tangled could a couple of hundred threads get in 5 feet? I just didn't understand that. So I read the book, and then I checked out a library video. It was produced by Victorian Videos, and it was Debbie Chandler's, where she explains how to warp a loom. And I watched her warp her loom, and I was in denial. This is the first stage of learning to warp comfortably, is denial. I watched her warping the loom, and I was amazed at how fussy she was. She had a lot of little independent steps, and she insisted that you follow each one directly. And I said, well, this can't be that hard. People have been weaving for 20,000 years. Obviously, this woman is just making her life harder than it needs to be. So I pulled up my warping board and I slapped some threads on there and I did tie across. But, you know, I didn't bother with all those other ties because, you know, how important could they be? The loom 5 feet away from where I'm measuring the warp, no problem. So I measured it. It's very beautiful because when you measure out the warp, you can see all the threads lying like they're going to lie. And they're very sinewy and ordered at that point. And this was rayon chenille because when I bought the loom from the lady, she showed me a scarf that she had woven of wave of rayon chenille. And it was so beautiful that I immediately fell in love with it. It was hand woven October. I'll have the actual accurate reference in the show notes. Gorgeous shadow weave rayon chenille scarf. So my first warp was rayon chenille because I was working in a vacuum and nobody had told me that this might not be a good idea. So I measured out my beautiful rayon chenille warp, something like 332 warp threads. It was perfect. And so I was so delighted that I decided to go get a cup of tea. And the other thing nobody had told me was when you're tying up your warp, don't use wool thread. At least not if you have a cat who loves to eat wool. So anyway, I go to get my cup of tea and I come back and, there is Kanji, my little black cat. And she is, you know, her mouth is going like this. And she has eaten the cross of my new beautiful chenille warp. Gone. Gone is any semblance of order. What was a flowing river of 332 warp threads is now a snarled cat ball. And this is where I hit the second stage of learning to deal with warping. Anger. I chased her across the room, of course, and I picked up my warp in both hands and held it up like an ailing child and just screamed at the ceiling. And so, well, you know, after that and another cup of tea, I mean, you just have to deal with it. So I turned to bargaining. I said, well, please, please warp. I'll just sort you out. I'll just, you know, just work with me on this. And I started to try to thread it. I'm like, well, if I can just get the cross pretty good, I'm sure it'll work. And if I can just tie this on and please, tension, just be right this time. And bargaining didn't help either. So eventually, I reached the fourth stage of learning to warp. Depression. This was a hopeless warp. It was completely destroyed at this point. And I put it in a sack. And I put it away. And I took my beautiful loom and I wheeled it into a corner. And it stayed there for 2 years. Oh, it was sad. It was tragic. But finally what happened was there was a weaving workshop coming up. And I had at this point realized that if I was ever going to be a weaver and use this beautiful loom that I had bought, that I would have to learn how to weave and I would have to learn how to warp. I had come to acceptance. I realized that if warping really is at least 30% of weaving, I needed to learn how to enjoy the process. So that's when I took my first weaving course. And I should mention at this point that the timing of the weaving course, I was 8 months and 3 weeks pregnant. And my husband kind of looked askance at me when I told him I was going to go learn how to weave, you know, baby do any moment. But so that's why I say that Kai learned how to weave even before he was born, because if you can imagine me with an enormous belly sitting behind my baby wolf, you know, pounding the beater with his little tiny infant ears, you know, in utero inches away. So I'm sure he has many good associations with weaving. I certainly know for a fact that when he was born, I did a lot of weaving while he was sleeping, and never once did the sound of the loom wake him up. I think he had gotten used to it in utero. But anyway, so I took this course, and I was very lucky to have Judith McKenzie as my first instructor, because she looked at the warp, and all the other students at that point, when I pulled this snarled, you know, hairball out of my little paper sack and said, could you help me with this? All the students took a step back and went, oh! But Judith just kind of smiled. She said, don't worry, dear. And I believe she patted my shoulder at that point. We'll make it right. And she did. She did. Over the course of 2 or 3 days, she helped me warp that tangled mess. And it was both humbling, because all the other students, you know, would come by. They had already warped their looms with 5-2 cotton and were weaving away like mad women, and I was still, you know, poking through piece of chenille by piece of chenille. So it was very humbling in that sense. But it was also a wonderful experience in that with Judith's help, I was able to realize that there really were no weaving projects that couldn't be salvaged. Even sticky, slippery, rayon chenille, cat ate your cross, snarl piles of fluff could be salvaged. I mean, we couldn't salvage the entire warp. Some of it we did eventually cut off because we warped front to back and used the reed to kind of come out the tangles, which I do not recommend at all. But for this situation, there really was no other option. And we ended up just cutting off the last few tangles. But the good news is the warp was for 2 scarves. So I eventually got one somewhat shortish scarf off of it. And in the process of dealing with this, you know, cat snarl mess, Judith taught me many sanity saving tips and a lot of really good warping techniques. When your first warping project goes this hideously awry and you are able to actually come back from it and get something you can actually weave, it takes a lot of the fear of warping out. So if you are having a project that is just gone wrong, I advise you to try to find another weaver, perhaps a more experienced weaver, to help you out. Or just go have a nice cup of tea and come back to it when you're a little bit calmer. But again, you just have to get through it. I finished my scarf by the end of the workshop. 5 days later, I did actually have a finished object. But I finished my scarf and I named it Overcoming Obstacles, and I still wear it to this day, and it reminds me matter how bad a project is going, there's always something that can be salvaged out of it, even if all that is salvaged is the knowledge of what doesn't work. I'll repeat Judith's advice. If you're learning how to warp, warp early, warp often. Make lots of little tiny short warps and warp them over and over again till you feel comfortable with the process. As for book recommendations, these days I am really loving Peggy Osterkamp's book. She has three of them out, and I believe the second of them is Warping the Loom. The first one is all about winding warps, and the second one is Warping the Loom, and the third one is about weaving. Her books can be a bit of a hard read. She has lots of lovely pictures, but I sometimes had to read her instructions two or three times before I got it. But I found that if you follow what Peggy Osterkamp tells you to do step by step by step, your warp goes on flawlessly. So I highly recommend Peggy Osterkamp's book. She also has a video out about how to warp your loom. Highly recommend both of those. I am kind of in the cult of Peggy Osterkamp, though I don't know. I don't think she knows that. Since then, once I got Peggy Osterkamp's method to work for me, I have come up with my own modifications, and I believe that if you, you know, talk to 20 experienced weavers, you get 20 different methods of warping. But it is a good exercise to take someone who does a really good job of warping and learn their way completely, every single step, just to figure out what they're doing, and then make modifications instead of just plunging in with your own ideas, because somebody else has already trod that pathway and can show you where all the stones lie. And then later you can figure out your own way to walk it. These days, I look forward to warping almost as much as weaving. You know, when I started out, I really hated people who said that. But I think you have to come to terms with it. You have to reach acceptance. You will have to be warped in order to weave. So I suggest you make it a second hobby. Take pictures. Here's me slaying. Whatever you need to do to make it fun. Listen to really good music. Hopefully I'll be able to provide some for you in the coming months. You know, invite the friends over. If you have a weaving buddy, and you know, warp together. It's more fun to be warped with somebody than to be warped alone. Just go out there. Just do it. That's all for this month. Next episode, we'll have Judith McKenzie talking with us. Wonderful instructor. She was the one who got me over my fear of warping, as I just described, and to the point where I could say, I'm a weaver, without feeling like a fraud. We'll talk to her about her inspirations, current challenges, and tips for weavers, beginning and otherwise. So until next month, get busy warping those looms, because everyone knows you have to be warped to weave.